Are there any questions related to days one or two that you would like to ask me? Okay. So homework one was easy. Maybe homework two you had to think a little more. Some of you have got it done though already, right? Some of you can figure it out.
I don't think I got any emails or office visits about the homework yet, so
either it's, you know, doable or you're too shy, but we'll see. Yeah.
When are we going to turn into the
syllabus? Okay, do you have the syllabus? Okay. Well, I might see. Okay.
I can see it in your website.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen that thing?
No.
There's a schedule.
Okay.
You want to go to my website? If you just go to the first part, you know, then you can click on 2415, or you can type that to get there slightly faster. I've got the syllabus there. info.tamu.edu has it too.
I just didn't want you to read it.
Yeah.
You're just good.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Whatever email the registrar has, they put it on the list. So I've been sending emails to the class. If you're worried that you're not getting my emails, send me an email, and I'll try to make sure that you're on my list, all right?
That's what the registrar usually gives me, unless you specifically gave them like some Hotmail address or something. But 99% of them are all the Outlook things. If you want me to send it to another email address, just email me about that, and I can do that.
Sir.
Yeah.
Can you send us the email here where you requested us to get the calculator, the
TI 89.
Remember, you did send it about 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah. I think all that's covered in the syllabus.
Oh, like the syllabus
says, here are some examples of calculators that are good. Here's some examples of calculators that are not good enough.
I've seen this for sale. You can buy it on the internet. It's a T-shirt, and it says, it's on the syllabus, right?
Anyways, that's fine. I don't mind the question.
But it's on the syllabus.
It's on the syllabus.
All right. All right.
Okay. So there's one thing I think is important enough to mention from section 2.1 that I haven't mentioned in the last 2 days, which are unit vectors. And then we'll go 3D.
Finally.
Now, anything I don't finish, we'll save that for Monday. Right? I don't know if I'll be able to just complete 2.2 today to my satisfaction. I think the syllabus just has 2.2 for Monday, but maybe we can get into 2.3, which is the dot product. I want to do this interesting little example about the methane molecule. I might need 2 days for 2.3 if I do that. Anyways, okay. So what does unit mean? It means one.
like unit one. Okay?
Well, in the context of vectors, the thing that you can make one is the magnitude. Okay. Okay, so very basic. Here's a vector u. It looks kind of like this. 3 to the left. Oops. 3 to the left and 4 up. Three in the negative x direction, four in the positive y direction. So, a common thing that we like to be able to do with vectors is sometimes the magnitude's not important. Sometimes all you want is the direction. But the problem is there's a whole bunch of vectors that go in the same direction as you, right? There's a whole bunch of them. So if you want to ignore magnitude, if all you really are interested in is direction, the way to focus on that is to pick a standard magnitude and say, okay, forget about all the vectors that have any other magnitude. I just want to talk about vectors with this magnitude. Then, for any given direction, there'll only be one vector that you have because you've thrown away all the other magnitudes. So if we just pick one magnitude, then there's only one, hence I will use the word the vector in the same direction as u, or maybe I should say with the same direction. And to make it really just one possible thing, we have to say what we want the magnitude to be. We want the magnitude to be 1. Okay? So there's just one vector that points the same way as u. You can think of it as parallel to u, but has magnitude 1. What is that vector? How do I get it if I don't know already? Well, okay, so I've got u. I want a vector that points in the same direction of u, one of these guys, you know, something like that. But I want it to have magnitude 1. Okay? So the problem is maybe the arrow u is probably too long, isn't it? Right? How long is u? Pythagorean theorem. Yeah, it's 5. It's 5 times too long. Okay? So
what do we need to do to make it like 1?
We need to
divide the components by the magnitude.
Yeah, we need to divide by 5. And the way we divide, well, that's scalar multiplication.
Okay. So division is multiplication by a reciprocal. Okay? So you can divide a vector by a number. But you can't divide a vector by a vector. Remember that, right? Okay. So this is okay because this part is a number, right? So we can divide by 5. We can divide even a vector by 5. Right? And as you said, component by component. That has magnitude 1. And if you're afraid you messed it up, I mean, you could check, right?
Yeah. 5. But, I mean, that's how we got the 5, right?
Remember, this is back on day 1, right? Pythagorean theorem.
Okay.
So will you always be posting these pictures?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, once in a while, sometimes I get a blurry picture and I don't catch it until it's too late, but...
Yeah, 99% of it I post. Yeah.
So I think I'd rather pay attention than writing.
All right, I will do my best to keep the photos good. We'll do more with unit vectors later in the course, but I don't have a ton to say about them right now. There's not that much to them, at least at this stage. We're not doing anything super interesting, but I want you to be aware of the terminology when it comes up later. Unit vectors have magnitude 1. You can get any vector turned into a unit vector with this little trick. Except for one thing. What's the one vector you can't multiply by a number to make it into a unit vector? There's one bad vector. This vector doesn't really have a direction, and that's why you can't turn it into a unit vector just by multiplying.
Zero vector.
The zero vector, right? We still can't divide by 0, right? Sorry. Okay, so that's the one exception. As long as you have a positive magnitude, then your vector has a direction. And some people, if they want to rigorously define direction, right, we've been kind of informal about it, right? Some people formalize direction as this. The direction of the vector is just the parallel unit vector, right? That's about as precise as we can say it. Yeah?
If you see an answer, only so you cannot divide.
Like, you can't divide that by 0, right?
So we'll never get an answer.
If you got an answer like that, you made a mistake, right?
No, because I was thinking, should I identify or link it with an asymptote?
Well, I mean, you could cook up some weird limiting situation where, oh, it's 0 over 0, so I can use L'Hopital's rule or something.
Oh.
But, you know. But like I said, Chapter 2 doesn't have any calculus in it. It's just geometry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I'll do one more thing because it'll reinforce what you've learned about polar coordinates in the past. So you may remember those special vectors I and J, they're actually unit vectors. Right? I takes you 1 to the right, J takes you 1 to the left. Okay. Those have magnitude 1. Okay. And you can check, 0 squared plus 1 squared is 1, and the square root of 1 is 1. Okay. Now what I want to do is I said I wanted to go
30 degrees counterclockwise. So this is a unit vector. So the magnitude had better be 1. So how do I go 30 degrees counterclockwise from the positive x-axis? Remember how to do that in polar coordinates? I draw x and y axes. I draw a theta. It's getting familiar. Yeah. Okay, so what is A? Cosine of 30 degrees. And the y part is the sine of 30 degrees. And, yeah, that's a general thing, right? If I made up a new problem and I said, instead of 30 degrees, I made it, 17.4 pi radians, right? Then I would just change these to 17.4 pi radians, right? And it's all good, right? That would be, a bunch of, around the circle several times. I'm not sure where it ends up exactly. Yeah. But it's general, and it works for negative angles too, right? Negative just means go clockwise. Okay. So, if you really want to review this stuff, chapter 1 covers the polar coordinates. As I recall, you can tell me if I'm wrong on that. But I believe chapter 1 in our book does some basic stuff there with polar coordinates and some parametric equations. If you really want to go back, there's also there's volume 2, right? All of the calculus 2 stuff. Not that we're going to use all of it in this course. Okay. All right, I did a little bit more with unit vectors, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Folks that really are strong with the trig have probably already simplified this one, right? The cosine of 30 degrees is root 3 over 2. The sine of 30 degrees is 1/2. But I'm not going to ding you for something like that on a test. But sometimes it helps you if you can simplify things when it's not the final answer, when it's an ingredient you have to use over and over and over again in later steps. But here is the final answer, so I didn't really worry about simplifying it, even though I could have. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I heard one professor say, would you like to try for less? Right? You know, you try and simplify it. If you've already got the final answer and it's correct, you probably just want to stop there. If you're simplifying it, there's a chance you'll make a mistake. Now, here's an example where I would simplify the final answer. What if I wanted to check that my answer was right? Maybe simplifying it would make it faster to check. Okay? But if you get the final answer, you know, the simplifying might introduce an error somewhere. It's another way things could go wrong.
Start talking questions. So the cosine of 30 and the sine of 30, we already know it's in the unit circle.
Yeah.
Where did 17.4 pi come from?
Oh, that's just another angle I made up.
Oh, okay.
It's in radians because I didn't put a degree symbol.
Okay.
Well, yeah. You can do this for any angle, even the ugly angles, right? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. How do you draw 3D? X, Y, Z. Okay. All right. Okay. You can have 3D vectors now, right? X, Y, and Z parts, just like you can have X, Y, and Z coordinates for a point. Okay, well, how am I going to represent that in any useful way on a two-dimensional board, right? There's more than one way to do it. Colors might help for this part.
Okay. So, we usually put Z going up.
You don't have to do that, but that's kind of the popular choice. Z is up, right? Because we like to think X and Y are kind of like longitude and latitude. They're on the ground, and Z is up.
Okay. Then there's the question of orientation. So
there's something called right-handed coordinate systems and left-handed coordinate systems. If you've taken chemistry, you may have learned about chirality, or however you pronounce it. It also comes up in biochemistry. You know, there's molecules, and if you look at the mirror image, they're different, right? Just like the mirror image of a right-handed glove is a left-handed glove, which doesn't fit on your right hand. So the same thing comes up with coordinate systems. And so there's a convention that we generally prefer to use a right-handed coordinate system for our sketches. Okay, so how do I know it's right-handed? Well, the idea is I use the right-hand rule, which you may have seen before. Okay, I'm going to point in my x direction. My x direction will be towards you. Now I'm going to bend my four fingers in the y direction. Okay, let's say I have it go that way. And then I extend my thumb. And then that's got to be my z direction. Now if I had, say, x going this way, and I wanted to have y coming out that way, then z would point down. So if you want z to point up, I guess these are your options, right? I guess anything like this, basically, would have Z pointing up. So sometimes I see them done this way, like X comes out
that way, y comes out that way, and then z points up. Or z can come like straight out like this.
Is that related to the right-hand rule that we learned in physics?
It's the same rule, yeah. Sometimes people like to imagine you're kind of looking at it at an angle, so it looks kind of skewed. Now, in three-dimensional space, these are all right angles with each other, right? But when you try and put them on the board, it's all skewed, right? It doesn't really look like a right angle here. You kind of have to imagine it. Anyways, okay, so maybe I think the book likes to use this one a lot. It's a little bit easier on us because, say you have some graph paper, you can just have Y and Z be the graph paper axes, and then you can just tack on this slanted thing as your X. Right? Okay, so X, Y, there's a Z. Okay. So now at least one of my supposed right angles between the coordinate axes actually looks like a right angle. Alright. So now let's get 1, 2, 3. Okay. Well, I gotta scale it, okay? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Well, how do I get there? Start from the origin. Start from the origin and go 1 in the positive x direction. You can really think of it as a path made up of arrows, right? Okay? Just do it one easy piece at a time. So we go in the positive x direction, 1.
I'm entirely happy.
1. That's 1. And then in the positive y direction, 2. Okay, so 1, 2. And then in the positive z direction, 3. So something like that. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so you can actually plot stuff in 3D. It's not great, but it's better than nothing, right? Computers do basically this, right? That's how they do a 3D plot. It's not magic. Okay, now plot that arrow. All right, so I need to break it up into easy parts. There's a 2 in the positive x direction, and then a 1 in the negative z direction, okay? So I need to go 2 in the x direction here, so kind of like that. Okay. So that's the 2 in the x direction, positive x direction, and then I need to go down 1 in the z direction. So, like that. Okay.
Okay. So there, that arrow. That's my 2, 0, negative 1 arrow. Right? It starts at, I told it to start at 1, 2, 3. I could have, of course it could start anywhere.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can you redraw that? Or like, repeat it?
Okay. So. So I went, starting at 1, 2, 3, you're talking about the arrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so starting at 1, 2, 3, I need to go 2 in the positive x direction. Okay, so this is 2 in the positive x direction. Okay, so right, you can have that arrow go from 0, 0, 0 to 0, 0, 2. So I took a copy of that arrow, and I moved it up here. Right? So I've got a copy of that arrow there. And then I need to go 1 in the negative z direction. So that's like this. So then I take a copy of that arrow and stick it on there, right? So we can have a crude picture here, right?
You just treat 1, 2, 3 as a merge, or as a 0, 0, 0. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Like the origin?
Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I just imagined what it would be like if I started from the origin at each stage, and then I made a parallel copy of that. That's the thing with vectors, right? You make a parallel copy of a vector, same direction, same length. It's the same vector, okay? Here's another little question. How far away is 1, 2, 3 from the origin? Right? It's like I walk, imagine I walk, a foot towards you and 2 feet that way, or no, why 2 feet this way, and then 3 feet up. Yeah, probably should be more like 1 meter, and then 2 meters, and then 3 meters. Right, how far away is that from where I started? Straight line distance, right? If you go in a straight line from 0, 0, 0 to 1, 2, 3, how long is that line segment?
Like a straight distance from the center to that new point.
Yeah.
It would be like trying to figure out the difference between. You do it twice. You have to do it through the horizontal and then the vertical change.
What are you guys in the back want to say?
Okay,
Can we change it to 2D? Like, we know that 3 is just going to be, do you get the thing? Predicate to 2D, is it just the 3? Because it's the same thing, it's just we have it rotated out away from.
Okay. But then you got to know that. But if you're going to give me a number at the end, then you must have some formula for doing this rotation. Yeah?
What about the Pythagorean theorem and this Pythagorean theorem? In this form, we're going to do it in 2D, we're going to do it in 3D.
Okay.
In other words, and let's say you're going to be suspended in the air, and we just connect the triangle like towards the origin, and we support the triangle and power from there.
Well, we're going to need two triangles.
Yeah.
That's how the answer is proved, and there's a shortcut formula at the end. Yeah.
To get the hypotenuse of the first triangle in the x-y plane, the
side. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. You have to use the Pythagorean theorem twice if you want to prove it.
Get the two
hypotenuses. Yeah. It's kind of hard to see in 3D. Hmm. Alright. The nice short and sweet answer is 1 squared plus 2 squared plus 3 squared quantity square root. I believe this is also known as the square root of 14. Right? You have to use the Pythagorean theorem twice, right? And as you said, first you pick two coordinates and make a right triangle of those, and then use the Pythagorean theorem again when you bring in the third coordinate, right?
Which one's correct? The one from the top or the bottom?
These are the same. The square cancels that square root.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
this one's the easier one?
Well, yeah, because once you've seen it once, you know that every time the square will cancel the square root. So, yeah, we can make it short and sweet. And you can do stuff in n-dimensional space. I guess you have to use your imagination. Maybe you're a string theorist and you really like higher dimensions. Whatever. Yeah. It works in any number of dimensions, right? Yeah? Let's see, if you really liked calculus 2 and all the series, then I could even do it in sigma notation, right? Right? More than you ever want to know. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. You just have to use the Pythagorean theorem over and over and over again until you brought in every dimension.
And that will give you the displacement.
Yeah, the length of displacement. The magnitude, right? Yeah. The displacement itself is just the... Yeah. This is the displacement. And that's, magnitude.
Is that the same thing, sir?
No. Because this includes the direction, right?
Oh, okay.
This forgets about the direction and just gives you one number.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And yeah, that's getting full. I'll take a picture. Thank you. Okay. Some notation. So in 2D, the zero vector is that. We go to 3D, we need three zeros. No x change, no y change, no z change. Truly no displacement in 3D. Here's our I vector. Positive one in the x direction. Here it is again in 3D. You have to specify no change in y, no change in z, just change positive 1 in x. And then j, displacement of length 1 in the positive y direction. Okay. Then you just have to tack on a 0 in the z component when you're in 3D. And you can probably guess the next row, right? Yeah. We're very creative. The next letter in the alphabet is k, so we'll use k. Alright. Well, obviously, there's nothing in 2D, but we can say something in 3D. Just go positive 1 in the z direction. So you can write this alternative notation. We talked about this in 2D. There's a little bit of ambiguity with the notation. Because maybe if somebody writes AI plus BJ, they're actually thinking in 3D. Some people use that to their advantage. They want to do something that, they want to prove something, they want to prove two things, one in two dimensions, one in three dimensions, but they don't want to write it once. So they just use the I and J, and they don't tell you which one it means, because it works for both in some arguments. But if it's really 3D, not just fake 3D with a zero tacked on, right? Well, then, yeah, we're going to bring in the K, and it's obviously 3D, right? Okay. And let's see. What was the other thing? Unit vectors, right? In 2D, you did that, right? You divided by the magnitude. In 3D, you would do the same thing. If you have a vector and it's not zero, but its magnitude is not one, you can always make it one without changing the direction. Vectors parallel to 5, 1, and negative 1, 6, negative 3. Because the adverb there is respectively, right? There's a 2D problem and a 3D problem. Okay? But I kind of gave away the store. I mean, I told you the formulas. It's not, there's not much thought required there. Just a little computation, right? There, I'll give the store away a little
There. That was the, pulled that out of the back room, right? It's just component by component. Okay. Yes, component by component, and the same in 10 dimensions, component by component. That's how scalar multiplication works. You just have to repeat it for every dimension you get. Is a 6. Yeah. That's very much not a 0 secret. It's my best 6. Yeah. Yeah, that's a 6. I'm still not happy with that 6.
Okay. I'll be in my office all afternoon. You know, I've got a 6 o'clock class, so I'm going to be around until then. So if you have any questions, you can come see me. Have a nice afternoon. See you Monday.